Welcome to Not a Novice, a time of refreshing and upliftment through the unfailing word of God with Bishop Victor Collins Asabre. Bishop Collins is the Bishop of the Good Shepherd Church, a dynamic church located in Canal No. 2 Polder, West Bank Demerara, with branches all over Guyana. Now, here is the message.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a blessing it is too. Be alive, isn't it? It's a blessing to be alive, a blessing to be coming your way and be speaking to you and with you. A day comes in a man's life that he will not speak anymore, but by the messages that have been recorded. So sometimes it's a blessing to hear people live and kicking. All right? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this great opportunity. Speak to our hearts like never before in Jesus' mighty name. And somebody said, amen. We're looking at what it means to be as wise as a serpent. What it means to be as wise as a serpent. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16, that behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents, wise as snakes, wise as serpents. I don't know how else to talk about this and to describe this, but Jesus is saying here that Jesus didn't say that, you know, as he's sending his disciples like you and I, we should change and become like a snake. That's not what he said. Otherwise, billions of people would have become snakes by now. No, but what he was actually telling us is that it's like what? Is it a metaphor or simile or this kind of English A type of thing? It's you have to be wise as, like, simile, metaphor. It's metaphoric. You know, the Bible says, go to the ant and learn of his ways. The Bible says, it's not like you go and then you turn into an ant and then you begin to speak on an ant. No, no, no. You observe, you see how the ant works and ministers. There are several places in the Bible where we are asked to look at the creation, birds, snakes, animals, for some inspiration. You know, so Jesus is saying here that we should be wise as serpents. It means that you have to actually study. Many people only know snakes by their names and by their color. Some people don't even know the names of snakes. Some people don't know them by their color. But there are people who have studied snakes. They can tell you everything about snakes. And that's what we're pretty much trying to do in the context of spirituality, in the context of trying to emulate, trying to imitate, trying to follow the directions and the advice of our Master and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And so he says that be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And we're saying that, you know, snakes have this, snake have this characteristic, snakes are this. Last week, we looked at snakes are masters of overcoming their handicaps. You get it? And snakes are handicapped now because the Bible tells me in the book of Genesis that when God came into the Garden of Eden and met Adam and Eve, when they said they were naked, they had sinned. I mean, Adam had his share of the blame. Eve had her share of the blame. And then, of course, the snake also had his share or its share of the blame. It means that when the Bible says that, and the snake told or spoke to Eve, it is very, very likely that the snake was standing next to Eve with legs and with hands talking to Eve. Because the Bible says that after God came into the garden, he cursed the snake and said that, you from today, no legs, no hands, you'll be on your stomach. You'll be crawling. Which means that the state of the snake changed. And so he became somebody different or something different than he originally was created to be. And so it was, and if you have hands and you lose your hands, if you have legs and you lose your legs, you go into a different state than your original state. Now you have to now try and live life in the state that you have lost into or lost to be. If you understand what I'm saying, JB. And so it's like you've lost your hands, you've lost your legs, so now you have to now learn to live. Just like anything in life, If let's say you have parents, you lose your parents, you have to learn how to live without your parents. It's a handicap. It is. If you have a wife, you have a spouse, and the spouse dies, I mean, it affects you. And Jesus is saying that when it comes to the snake has not allowed has affected him to affect him. That is all we are saying. There's nothing ill meant. There's nothing evil. There's nothing derogatory. There's nothing to make anybody arouse and say, what are you talking about? We're speaking, I'm just literally explaining to you what Jesus is saying from the Bible's perspective. And so last week we dealt with that. And for those who probably didn't tune in, the message last week was that do not allow anything that is not in your favor keeps you down and out. Keeps you down and out. Keeps you down and out. Your color shouldn't be a problem. Your gender should be a problem. Your lack of education shouldn't be a problem. Your height shouldn't be a problem. Where you live shouldn't be a problem. Your lack of having a vehicle shouldn't be a problem. That which you don't have should not determine your success, because the snake has managed to overcome. Oh, Jesus Christ. Are you not excited about the snake and what it means in terms of success in life? I believe that is a blessing. Now today, we're looking at snakes, masters at giving themselves wholly. They are masters at giving themselves wholly. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and the 15th verse, okay? Masters at giving themselves completely, giving themselves totally. I'm sure I'm going to step on somebody's toe this afternoon, because many people don't like to give themselves wholly and completely when it comes to church, when it comes to the kingdom of God, when it comes to following the things that God wants us to follow. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 15 says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. That thy profiting may appear to all. Give yourself wholly, that your profiting may appear to all. Now, a serpent is a slim, long tube that moves sleekly on the ground. Okay? And yet, it is able to kill and swallow a huge four-legged animals. Yeah, it is crawling. But an antelope can disappear in the sight, in the house, in the arena, and in the realm of the snake. It is a wonder to watch a python swallow a huge antelope together with its horns, hoofs, and head. What an amazing creature that is able to overcome another animal 10 times its size. What kind of wisdom is this? What kind of wisdom does a serpent use? The wisdom of a serpent is the wisdom of giving itself wholly to its task. It gives itself wholly to its task. Give itself wholly to its task. Are you with me? The serpent gives itself, his long tube, soft body, everything he has. He gives it up. He gives it towards its task. What a wisdom. It means that people who don't give themselves completely to their task will not survive and will not succeed like the snake usually does. Now, you should watch a snake using his whole body to kill his prey. Pythons, anacondas, boa constrictors kill their prey by constricting their prey with the entire length of their body. The snake tightens its coils around the prey to suffocate it. Indeed, it uses its entire body. To engulf its prey. Each time a captured animal takes a breath, the snake tightens its hold. The snake squeezes so tightly that its prey cannot breathe. Oh man, I wish I had 10 hours on this one here. The snake is such that, Charlie, no matter if the snake is to kill an antelope or a rabbit or a sheep or a goat, a boa constrictor, he constricts himself around his prey. And it will squeeze it. Every aspect of its body is into the process. I mean, this is a very interesting something. You know, interesting concept. How you must, as an individual, completely devote yourself, your energy, your heart, your strength, everything to your task. Are you called into the ministry? Are you called to sing? Are you called to pray? Are you called to clean the church? Are you called to give money? Are you called to support something? Are you called to play instruments? The Bible says that if you are going to be as wise as a serpent, you will need to give yourself completely to your task. Oh, Jesus. It's fantastic. You see, snakes, they give themselves only to the killing of their prey. And that's what you should ask yourself. If you, listen to me this afternoon, if you give yourself completely, you see, when you give yourself completely, sometimes even as a preacher, when you give yourself completely, sometimes people don't understand. The things you say, the things you do, the places you go, how you live your life. I mean, if you look at somebody like John the Baptist, the Bible says John the Baptist, he came in the spirit of Elijah. John the Baptist used to live in the wilderness. This guy came into the world. He didn't go to school. He didn't marry anybody. He didn't build a house. He didn't buy a car. He didn't own a passport or ID card. John the Baptist was always, the Bible says, he was always in the wilderness. That's where he used to dwell. He used to be there. I don't know how he used to sleep. There was no bed. He was not paying for any bed. He didn't buy any bed. I'm sure he would just lie down under a tree and sleep. Even a hammock. I don't think he had a hammock. The guy came into this world as the forerunner of Jesus Christ. The one who came to prepare the way for the Son of God. And the Bible says that this man, John the Baptist, did not spend his time doing anything, but in the wilderness, crying, preaching, moving, sorting out, putting things together, making sure that people's hearts and minds were prepared for the coming majestic Savior called Jesus the Christ. And so, what has God called you to do? Ask yourself. Are you a Christian? What has God called you to do that you are doing, half-heartedly, that you are doing when you have the chance, that you are doing when you feel like? At this juncture, I sense in my spirit that somebody is listening to me. It's a young man who's listening to me this afternoon. And you know, knowing is a very interesting thing. You know that God has called you into ministry. You know that God has called you to preach. But you have been hesitant. You have been reluctant. You are dilly-dallying. You are beating about the bush. And as I've started talking about snakes and how they give themselves completely to their task, your heart skipped a beat. God is speaking to you this very afternoon. God is speaking to you. God is asking you, when will you take him serious? Today is the day. Bible says, when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. It's your day of salvation. Today is the day that you have to start to change your ways and take the task that God has given to you very, very seriously. What has God called you to do, my brother? What has God called you to do, my sister? What has God called you to do, man of God? What has God called you to do, apostle? What has God called you to do, evangelist? Some of you, you probably are supposed to be moving around and preaching. Preaching in buses, preaching at a bus park, preaching in open spaces. That's a calling God has given to you. What has God called you to do? What has God called you to do? Have you given yourself completely to it? Or you are waiting for somebody to support you or somebody to push you? God is speaking to you this very afternoon. Now, pastors, ministers should give themselves wholly to the ministry. Should give themselves wholly to the ministry. And this is where sometimes myself and some friends and fools, we part ways. I believe that one of the greatest professions ever in this realm is to be called by God, to be chosen by God, to be sent by God, to be anointed by God, and to preach and to speak for God. There's absolutely nothing in this life, in this world, and I'm speaking not from what I think. I'm speaking from the Bible. The Bible is what directs me. The Bible is what gives me inspiration. The Bible is what I speak about. And the Bible said nobody takes this honor unto himself unless and except he's called by God, as was Aaron. And the Bible is talking about priesthood in Hebrews chapter 5. You get it? And so, if God has called you into ministry, I believe that one of the greatest things you should do is to be able to give yourself completely to ministry. It means that you should not do any secular work. Because if you do secular work and you do preaching, and I know some people do that, okay? Some people do that. Some people do that. They do that by choice. You get it? They do that by choice because I believe that God will want every minister. If you look at the priesthood, if you look at the priesthood from the days of Aaron, the high priest, the first high priest, you see that Aaron was not somebody who used to go somewhere to work and then come, and then when he comes home, eats his chow mein and things, and then after that, he has church work. No. Aaron, the high priest, the sons of Levi, and then from there onwards, they all were completely and wholly devoted to their task in ministry. Something very interesting in the life of John the Baptist's father, Zechariah. The Bible says, if you remember, the Bible says that he was somebody who used to burn incense in the temple because he was from the course of Abijah. It means that John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, all he had to do in the as a starts was he just goes to the temple and burns incense. He wasn't driving any car. He wasn't doing any other job. He wasn't even doing farming. He was just dedicated to burning incense in the temple. The Bible says it is through that interaction, through that act, through that task, that God, with an angel, spoke to him and told him that his wife Elizabeth is going to give birth to a child. The man was dumbfounded. You couldn't believe it. Do you get it? And so if you're a minister, if you're a pastor, you should try and give yourself wholly to the ministry. I mean, if you don't know how to do that, if you are wondering about how you see, some people, their problem in giving themselves wholly to ministry is finance. Which I think is, for the lack of a better expression, is an insult to God. Do you understand, man of God? If giving yourself completely to full-time ministry, you are concerned about money, I think that you are not trusting God. I think that your belief or faith system is weak and it needs a revival. The Bible says that silver and gold is mine, saith the Lord. God owns everything. God wants everything. And so if stepping into ministry completely and fully, you are thinking about money, then I think your faith system. You see, when God spoke to Abraham and said, go and offer your only son Isaac to me as a sacrifice. You see, Abraham didn't argue. Abraham didn't contest. Abraham didn't think twice. Why? And that is how come God believed, God loved and trusted Abraham so much, to the extent that when Jesus spoke about Lazarus and the rich man, that there was a place where Lazarus went to call Abraham's bosom. There's a place in heaven, in paradise, called Abraham's bosom. Can you believe it? Because Abraham, even though it took him over 100 years to get one child, when God said, give me the child, he didn't hesitate. Why? Because he believed that if God can give me a child at the age of 100 years old, God can also give me a child at the age of 200, at the age of 300, at the age of 400. That he wasn't concerned, he wasn't affected. He believed that God is a provider. We say, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. We sing the song and all of that, but we don't believe. That's why you, man of God, instead of leaving your job and stepping fully into full-time ministry, you are dilly-dallying. You become like Jonah. You're waiting for a whale to swallow you before you say, Lord God, have mercy on me. If money, let me tell you, if you're a pastor, you are listening to me and you are saying, Bishop, what you're saying is really my situation. I don't know who is going to support me. My fear is money. I have a wife. I have kids. I'm concerned about their welfare, their school and all of that. And because of that, I have to work so I can support them. I can't go full-time in this. Call me. I'll give you a special number to call me today. If you are that, if you're a pastor and you are struggling with full-time, going into full-time ministry, you get it. And you are serious, I'm going to give you a special phone number to call, okay? And I'll speak with you. To write it down. It's 681-7798. It is only for somebody who's a pastor. And as I'm speaking again, I'm speaking by inspiration. Somebody who is into ministry. You are doing church work, but you are caught up between your secular job and the church work. You wish that you could leave the secular job and focus on full-time ministry. It is in your heart. That's what your heart wants. But the issue is financial support. I'm not. You call me. I don't have money to give you, but you call me. It's 681-7798. This is a special number. And it's for you who needs to give yourself completely to your task, who is struggling. Because the snake, according to what we know and we've seen on YouTube and these places, the snake completely gives everything. When a snake is constricting an animal and eating an animal, every part of his body is involved. Can you imagine this long, small tube? And then he can swallow even a human being. He opens his mouth wide. And he takes you by your head first. He opens his mouth and he makes sure that his mouth opens enough to kind of cover your head, and then he pushes it over your head. Then he brings his body a little closer to his mouth. Then he pushes his mouth further. Then he brings his tail and he do it like that. Like what? Before you realize, a 6-foot human being is inside an anaconda who is about 25 feet. The snake gives us so many things to learn up from. And that's what Jesus said. I am the one who created the snake. Even though he didn't try, he disobeyed, he went to do some foolish things in the garden, he still has things that I believe that human beings can learn and emulate. All right? So, especially about ministry, I feel so strong. I don't even know how to continue preaching because I feel somebody needs help. And help is here. And God wants to help you, my brother. God wants to help you. That is what we are here for. To help ministers. To help pastors. And many have gone ahead. They are established. They are okay. But there are some who God has called. God is always calling people. young ones, old ones, is calling people. And your calling is determined. The nature of the success of your calling is going to be determined by the amount of time you give to your calling. There's nothing in this life that if you're involved in and you don't give yourself completely to it, you succeed in it. The people who, somebody said, it's tired people who rule this world. The people who run this world and rule this world, they are called tired people. What does it mean? They go to work very early. They come home late. If you're a woman and you marry let's say a man who is one of those people who are the tired people who run the world, you hardly see him. He's flying here. He's flying to Toronto. He's going to California. He's going to Bahamas. He's here. When he comes home, is this, is that, is that. You know, he gives you all the money, but he doesn't have the time to be there. It's tired people who run the world. And so if you're also called into ministry, if you're a pastor, if you're a singer, if you're an evangelist, whatever ministry you are in the church, in the kingdom of God, and you do it only when you have the chance, please, you need some serious soul searching after this message that you are hearing. All right? And so many people do not give themselves wholly to the ministry. So give yourself totally to your God-given work. Yes, your God-given work. Give yourself totally to your God-given work. In the Bible, Peter at a point said in Mark chapter 10 verse 28, he said, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you." We left everything. We left everything. We have left everything. That's what people like Peter and God, that's what they did. They left everything and they followed Jesus. Jesus also gave himself to them. When Jesus came at the age of 30, he started his ministry. That was it. They say a carpenter's son. Carpenter's son. He used to help his father in the carpentry business, making furniture and selling and all of that. When he started ministry, that was it. Completely to the task that God had given to him. And so I pray this afternoon that you have heard something. The Holy Spirit has ministered to you. The words that I speak unto you, the Bible says, they are spirit and they are life. Father, thank you for using these words for these few minutes through the airwaves into all the places where my voice is being heard, affecting and convicting servants and maidservants of yours to arise and to give themselves completely to the work of the ministry. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. You are not saved. You want to give your heart to Jesus? Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I open my heart. I receive Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Father, for saving my very precious soul. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. If you pray that prayer, announcer will give you a number to call. Okay? All right. It's time to give an offering. You know, we always give offering here. And I've been encouraging you also, as part of this Not a Novice Church, to tithe a tenth of your increase into this ministry. 614-7909 is our MMG number. Feel free to send your tithe. Feel free to send your 20,000 US dollars. To send your 10,000 Guyanese dollars. To send your 5,000 Guyanese dollars. Feel free to send it right there. 614-7909. I believe God will bless you. All right. Father, thank you for everyone who's giving this afternoon. I pray for your love and your kindness to show towards them. Let every project they are into be successful. Every bottleneck and every resistance to their success and their breakthrough, I remove now in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us and blessing us in Jesus' name. Amen. So God bless you so much. Have a blessed afternoon. I'll see you next week.
We hope you have been blessed by this message. For more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call 592-691-5301 or 592-628-2227 or email us on notanoviceservice@gmail.com. God richly bless your day.